Okay. We're going to talk about our walls coming down this morning. So I hope as the word is coming forth, actually, we can experience it together. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to briefly read it. It says, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls, for I will be a wall of fire around her. I will be the glory in her midst. Why do we build walls? It's not God's design. His design is that we're to be a city without walls. We build walls to keep out what we fear. The only problem is the walls don't bring down the fears. They don't deliver us from fear. They don't remove the fears. We build walls to keep us contained in a certain space, certain comfort zone. Problem is, with those walls, we don't grow. We can stay contained and safe, but not move on into anything more in the Lord. So God's intent is to be a wall of fire around us and for us to experience His glory from within. And in order for that to happen, according to this verse, we have to allow Him to bring the walls down so He can be that to us. Hebrews 12 talks about how God will shake all that can be shaken. For what purpose? That which cannot be shaken remains. So if we let Him shake our walls, it's uncomfortable. We built them for our protection. But if God is shaking our walls down, the result of that is that the treasure, what can't be shaken, His glory in our midst, the wall of fire, that's going to be our reality. 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7 deal with a story where the king of Syria came against Samaria. And the enemy was all around this walled city, and there was a famine in the land. And you remember the story, in Samaria they were starving to death. They were afraid to go outside the walls because the enemy would kill them. But to stay inside the walls and in the city, they had no food. The prophet Elisha speaks, don't worry about it. This time tomorrow, it's all going to be different. You remember the story, the four lepers go outside, they say, what have we got to lose? And they discover that what had happened in the enemy's camp, God had brought confusion, and the enemy had scattered and left everything behind. All the food, the provisions. But you know what's interesting is God spoke a word, but those that stayed behind the walls in the city would never have been aware that that word had been fulfilled. It took four lepers to step out on faith to go outside the walls to see what God had done. There's so much we can gain from this, but the only point I want to make is the walls we build can restrict our awareness of what God is doing. And if we're going to discover the word that God is speaking, get a greater revelation of it, see fulfillment of it, we're going to have to venture out in faith and let those walls come down to find out what God has been doing. It's going to require that step of faith. We have to go outside our conditioned thoughts and our fears to see the victory of the Lord. And once we see it, we can bring it back into the city for all to be blessed. Now, this is a foundation for what I want to bring this morning. The Bible, in the New Testament, Paul refers to a mystery a number of times. Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 4, the mysteries of God, and Ephesians 6, the mystery of the gospel. Colossians 1:27, the mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And most believers, when they think about mystery, inevitably they'll go to, when is Jesus coming back? We all like to know that. When is He coming back? Is it going to be a rapture? Is it pre-tribulation, post-tribulation? That's not the mystery we need to be unraveling. Jesus addressed that in Acts 1 before He ascended. When they were asking about, is it time to restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the time. Go and wait for My power to come. So many believers get focused on things that they can't figure out, and God wants our focus elsewhere. The mystery that needs to be unraveled is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of oneness. The mystery of the spiritual body of Christ. And what I want to share this morning is We all have built up a kind of walls of doctrine and a certain level of understanding of how we see the body of Christ. Everybody can go to their favorite chapters about it. We're going to go there in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. We know all the verses about being the body of Christ. But I think we lack real revelation of what this spiritual body is all about. We reduce what we read into what we can see in the natural. Our minds tend to reduce it. And we reduce it into these physical boxes called churches, where we gather together, where we congregate. And we say, the body of Christ are all these people I'm relating to every Sunday. And we read the scriptures, how we're supposed to be one and how we're supposed to get along. And then we look at the reality of relationships in church and all the drama and all the negativity and the gossip and the things that go on. And we can get disillusioned, say, this isn't working. The body of Christ and the revelation of that spiritual living organism cannot be reduced to physical space and time, just a building, a place where people meet. That's an expression of it. But the body of Christ is God knitting hearts together worldwide into this spiritual oneness. The Holy Spirit doing something that we can't even conceive of in our natural mind. It involves people that you see every day, every week. It involves people you've never seen. And when God is able to bring all these hearts together into this spiritual body, it's not a movement. It's not a denomination. It's not a physical location where people meet. It's a spiritual coming together where Jesus Christ can be seen and revealed. That's what we're a part of. Now, you can look at church life and say, this isn't working the way it's supposed to work. And I would have to agree with you. Our humanity gets in the way all the time. But as far as God building the spiritual body through the Spirit, He is succeeding. It's happening. And our walls need to come down so that we can have a greater revelation of what oneness and the spiritual body is all about. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if an alien were to come, it had never seen a human form. And all he could see was a hand, a human hand. He probably wouldn't be able from that hand to picture a human body, right? But if you could see a human body in form, then the hand makes sense. We're all parts of a living spiritual body. But I bet when you look in the mirror, you probably don't see Jesus. You know that Christ is in you, but our humanity gets in the way. Now, it is an individual walk with the Lord. We're all to know the Lord as individuals. But the greater revelation of seeing the Christ in us is connected to the oneness with the body. If you obsess or focus on the part and don't see the whole, it's hard to see the Lord in the part. So the more we have a revelation of the body of Christ, we're going to be free to see our own identity in Him in a lot clearer way too. In 1 Corinthians 12, let's get started, verses 11 and 12. I'm just going to read a few verses. However, in the Lord, chapter 11, no wonder, oh boy. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Again, we've read over this 1,000 times, but the miracle of God's grace is He takes all these different parts with different mindsets, different cultures, different ways of thinking, all the problems we have with our flesh, and it's no problem to God. By the Holy Spirit, He connects the parts so that His Son can be seen. In verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as He desired. We have such insecurity over our place, our ministry, How do I fit? How do I belong? We need a revelation of where he has placed us. I don't mean just how you function in a church service or with a group, an organization. God wants to bring revelation to us of how he has placed us in his spiritual body. Again, our walls need to come down, our doctrines, our what we think we know, so that God can open our heart to see things we've never seen before about his body. If we go down to verse 23 to 25. He talks about the members of the body which we deem less honorable. On those we bestow more abundant honor. Our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body. Who composes the body? God. Giving more abundant honor to each member that lack. Why? That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. God gives honor. Unfortunately, often where God is giving the most honor, we give criticism. Why does God give honor? So that there'll be no division. When we don't give honor where God gives honor, we create division. Is Christ divided? No. So to be in Christ, to be a functioning member of the body of Christ, building Christ in one another, we're either building the Lord in one another through honor, or if we're creating division, we're working against his purpose. I mean, it's just so clear. Just think about this. The difficulty we have giving honor. And what's God talking about here? Those members that are more unseemly. In other words, maybe people you have more trouble with, you know, where you'd be more apt to criticize or gossip or be negative. You're sitting there going, oh man, I'm having a hard time with that person. And God is saying, here's more honor. When we learn to be on the same page with God and give honor instead of criticism, we're creating oneness. We're flowing with God. What's happening? Christ is being seen through his body. The enemy knows that, doesn't it? That's why he battles so heavily on this. He gets us in our thinking to think, well, we may be divided, but there's good reason for it. Christ is not divided. There's never good reason for division. Mystery of Christ is seen in oneness. It's not to remain a mystery to us. God wants to reveal the realities of oneness. This is one of the big keys. Learning how to give honor creates greater oneness. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You see the importance of taking our walls down? When you get confronted by the Holy Spirit of giving honor where you want to criticize, you get to put up a wall to that. No, I can't do that. I'm upset with that person. The Lord says, take that wall down. You may be upset, but my spirit is releasing honor. Who do we want to be in agreement with? Romans 12, this one verse here, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every person among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. How do we work? How does the body work? How do we give to one another? God, I somehow work up this greater faith. No, you know what? God has deposited in each member a measure of faith. We don't need to strive for more faith. We need to discover the faith he's already given us. It can be, oh, it's just a mustard seed. Hey, a mustard seed, according to Jesus, will move mountains. Again, walls come down so we can discover the gift he's put within us. There is a gift of faith that releases life to the other members of the body. Ephesians 4:16. The whole body being fit and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. How does the body of Christ grow in Christ? Well, you just need a few apostles, a few prophets, some strong leaders. That's not what this verse says. Every part supplying. Everyone doing their part, allowing the faith and the love to flow through them. In the Phillips translation, it says, the body grows by the proper functioning of the individual parts to its full maturity and love. In the religious world, focus is put on certain individuals. But when we see things more from God's perspective, it's everybody participating. Everybody giving from their heart what God has put there. That's what causes the body to grow in love. Proper functioning. What does that mean? Galatians 5:6 says, faith working through love. Every person functioning properly, you think, well, that means I'm moving in my gift, right? Or gifts. That's part of it, discovering the gifts that God's put in you. But we're not defined by our gift. We're defined by the faith and love that expresses our gift. The gifts of the Spirit without faith and love do not produce life in the body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all knowledge, you can have all faith to do this and that. If you don't have love, what did he say? It's nothing. To properly function as a member of the body is more than you just discovering your gift. It's the faith and love flowing through that gift that makes it a proper functioning that brings life to others. Matthew chapter 25 is a parable about the talents. And you remember that. You can read that later, starting with verse 14. The master gave certain talents to three different individuals. The issue was never how much he gave, was it? It was their faithfulness to use what he had given. And he said to those that he gave, you know, was it 5 and 2 or 10 and 5? He said, you've used it wisely. Enter into my joy. There's joy and authority. He gave him authority. But the one that had the one talent buried it. And of course, that didn't go over too well. So for the body of Christ to grow, as it's meant to grow, it means we don't bury what God has given us. We use it. And we need to understand, what does it mean to bury things, to bury something? Why do we do that? I think that's another example of putting up walls. We bury things because of fear. God gives you a talent, and whenever God gives something to you, it's not something you can do in your own humanity. It requires faith, right? Now, you can have a talent. Let's say you have a great voice for singing, and you get up in front of people, and you say, well, I get nervous, but you know you've got a great voice. It doesn't take faith to sing. You're using something that you know you have. When God gives you a talent, you're dependent on God to flow through you with that talent. And I think what we like to do is say, well, Lord, bring the power first, then I'll step out on what you've given me. If that works for you, great. But you might find the Lord saying, step out on what I've given you, and I'll back you with my power. Like the loaves and fishes, you know, they have enough for a few people. What did Jesus tell them to do? Start giving it out. Take your talent, start giving it out. It's up to God to supply supernatural power for it to work the way he wants it to work and bear fruit. So the fear is, what if God doesn't show up? I'm not adequate in myself. Don't bury what he's given you because you look at your own flesh. Whatever he's given you, he knows you're dependent on him for it to work. I think I was thinking about myself on this. You know, many years ago when this journey started, the Lord started speaking in my heart and I started speaking, bringing the word. My personality type, I'm an introvert. I mean, this, you know, I've been out of character for 40 plus years standing in front of people speaking. And it's always been uncomfortable in a certain sense. I mean, typical preachers, at least people I've known, they love to hear their own voice. I can't stand to hear my voice. I don't like to hear myself talk. You know, I don't care for an audience. I'd rather be in the audience hearing someone else. But I realize, you know, the Lord put something in my heart. It wasn't a part of my personality. So I have been dependent on him for all these years. And all I can say is there's been a passion there for it. I love to hear his voice. I love the living word. And that passion overrides the fear. So I think it's just an example. I mean, I've looked at myself, but you can probably see the same thing in yourself. Whatever God's anointed you to do, it's beyond your own human capabilities. And that's the way it's meant to be. So you depend on him. So fear, let's not let fear become a wall where we bury what he's given us. Second thing is, we bury talents because we just don't like them. We don't want to do it. I remember years ago when we have prophecy in the church over ministries, and we were young, and you know, we had in our thinking the kind of this hierarchy. You know, if you got a word to be an apostle, that's like the superstar. Prophets up there. Someone get a word to be a teacher, not so glamorous. You know, it's silly, I know, but that there was all that competition, ambition going on in the church. You know, get a word to be an elder, oh, that's really nice. You get to sit up front in the seat and everybody can see you. A deacon, didn't carry the same weight, right? So basically, there's a lot of pride wrapped into what we're doing for the Lord. In our flesh, we'd like to do certain things, not do other things. So a lot of times, people, because of self-will or what God has put in us, maybe it's just not according to our plans, we'll just bury it. You know what? Joy is not in doing what you would want to do. True joy is pleasing him. Whatever he's called you to be and do, be it small, be it big, be it seen, be it unseen, when you are doing and releasing the talent he's given you and you're building the body of Christ, that's true peace, joy, happiness. You know, you think in the word, an example would be Jonah. Interesting book, 4 chapters. It's kind of like a mystery. You start reading it and you think you know what Jonah's all about, and then you got to get to the last chapter to find out what really was ticking inside him. He gets a word to go to Nineveh, bring a word of judgment, and he runs away. So your first thought is he's afraid. Well, who wouldn't be? Nineveh was a big city, an evil city. He probably could, you know, good chance of losing his life. But you find out in the end why he didn't want to go. He hated Nineveh. Nineveh was a thorn in Israel's side. You know, if you were in Israel, you did not love Nineveh. Nineveh was like Sodom and Gomorrah. He was afraid that if he brought a word that the people would repent and that God would forgive him. So it wasn't he feared for his life. He just didn't want to do what God wanted to do. He was worried that God would have compassion, and he had such a prejudice against the city that, right? So an example, there's probably many others. When we bury things if we don't want to do it, if we're not on the same page with God. But when we do that, we're not functioning as the part that God's put us in the body to be. We're not bringing life to others. The last thing is we bury our gift. This is important to hear. When we allow ourselves to become critical and negative. In James, it talks about 3:11. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Okay, we're meant to send from our opening fresh water of life to others. When we allow ourselves to get bitter or just negative, critical about other people, you're not thinking, well, I'm burying my gift. And maybe you're still doing what you were doing before. But remember, gifts without faith and love don't minister life, the life that God wants. So we can be functioning in church, prophesying away, but if there's bitterness under the surface, negativity, we're burying our true gift. We're not ministering life. Galatians 5:15, if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. The way the body's to work is we each part ministers life. What happens is there's negativity and bitterness. It begins to consume members of the body. Don't let your gift be buried because the enemy gets in and sows discord in your thinking toward others. So we have to have a tender and forgiving heart. Okay. We bring our walls down. what we've thought we've known about the body. And why? Because God wants to release such greater light to us in revelation. We've been limited by, I would say, a religious understanding of what the church can be, what we can see in the natural. God's going to open our eyes more and more to see this worldwide spiritual body that he's bringing together. And it's in that spiritual body, hearts being knit together, where our risen Lord is truly going to be seen in this earth in full power. And we're all a part of that. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. We can stand.